Blog Talk Radio.
Joining kids on bridges and fans around the world remembering David Bowie. I'm Bruce Mitchell, Torch Senior Columnist. This is January the 15th, Friday, 2016, and you're on the PW Torch Livecast. We'll be joining, we'll be bringing on our friend Travis Bryant momentarily. This, of course, wrestling news and commentary, and bunch of great callers as we built up on Friday, and frankly, as we built up all during the week, Monday through Friday, on blogtalkradio.com, pwtorchlivecast.com. Wade Keller talked to Matt Hardy on the live cast yesterday on Thursday. You can go to pwtorchlivecast.com to get an abbreviated version of that, or if you are a if you are a VIP member, and we encourage you to become a Torch VIP, pwtorch.com VIP member at pwtorch.com, go VIP. Well worth it. A ton of news and material, and 30 years of wrestling coverage to dive into for a very low price, $10 a month. So definitely worth doing. Looking down the barrel of the Royal Rumble, I guess the question is, Roman Reigns defends the WWE title at the Royal Rumble, an unusual stipulation at the Royal Rumble. Does he retain? I don't know. Although I think Monday night's reveal that Brock Lesnar is back and that Brock Lesnar is in the Royal Rumble. I think we have two candidates to win the thing. I'm guessing Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns end up both having a claim to the WWE title, and they go to the next pay-per-view. I want to say Fast Point. I don't have it right in front of me. Whatever the next pay-per-view is, that's not WrestleMania. The idea being that pay-per-view should draw some strong interest and draw folks to the WWE network, which is an interesting thing. Not something they've done before, but maybe they think that they can get people excited about WrestleMania and excited about that. Let's bring in our friend and co-host, Travis Bryant from Philadelphia, at least temporarily. I'm assuming you came back from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm home. But if my plans, if everything goes according to plan, I'll be back in. Well, I will be back in Austin for Mania weekend, and then we'll drive to Dallas. But this fall, I plan on moving there.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're gonna spend some time talking to me in the next few months. Maybe more than just on Fridays to pick up how to properly speak, so that you don't stand out too much in Texas. And
well, see,
and
the thing is, Austin's actually a pretty decent town, so I won't have to learn any lewd languages or avoid social foibles or anything like that, because it's a common sense, cool town. So
I feel a little insulted.
I don't think anybody's going to be walking down the street with, like, AKs or AR-15s strapped to their backs to go get, donuts.
Well, that's going to be kind of a difference than walking around downtown Philadelphia, as I recall, when I was walking with you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
AK-47s. No, in the South, you have to beware the middle of the night. You don't. No one's going to give you a heads up like that. So. Oh, man. Yeah. Austin, Texas, man. I give you credit. Jeez. That would be cool. That would be something.
Great town.
And you might be traveling to Waterloo, Iowa in the summertime.
No, that's the plan as well. That shouldn't be a might be. That I committed. So I have to make
it. It's a tremendous deal. Waterloo, Iowa for the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, amateur and professional, of course. Wade Keller was inducted in last year, and we had a great trip. I mean, it was amazing. It was an amazing thing to see, and just great place to tour, and just a lot of long-time, lifelong wrestling fans, and of course, you know, major professional wrestlers, and a museum that's really interesting. And I think, you know, I think out of everything, standing in the lobby, watching Kurt Angle walk through, nice man standing next to me with a little ball cap on, realizing that was Dan Gable, one of the great wrestlers in American history, maybe the greatest. And then looking over and seeing, you know, the big, you know, this unassuming man who is bad as he wants to be, and the reason why Kurt Angle was there, and looking over at the wall and seeing the, you know, seeing the painting of him from his you know, younger heyday was something. But and I just remember growing up as a teenager, and boy, he was a national sports hero at that point. Probably the most famous amateur wrestler of my lifetime in that time. I wasn't around for Danny Hodges' prime, but Dan Gable was more famous. And of course, now there's a Gable in NXT, so pretty interesting there. So what do you figure happens at the Royal Rumble?
Bruce, I really have no idea. There's wherever they go with it. I think as far as like the main story with the title and Roman Reigns, I think this would be a failure of a Royal Rumble if it doesn't launch six different things.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Your four biggest matches aren't for WrestleMania, three or four biggest matches aren't set yet. And you would think at least two of those will come out of the come from something that happens in the Rumble, at least two things. So I think they have tons of potential stories that they can, and big time what's going to happen next moments and storylines going coming out of next Sunday after the Rumble's over. I think there should be a lot to talk about with a lot of different players.
Yeah, I think so.
Matches or with the title, I really don't. I have no idea.
Yeah. I think Reigns has evolved. I mean, clearly Reigns has evolved. There's three ways to go. Reigns wins, which I think is too predictable. And he won last year, which they don't like to do. And the crowd, you know, the chance of the crowd turning on Reigns is highest with Reigns winning again. And then Brock Lesnar winning, which puts them in the position of Roman Reigns getting the rug pulled out from him again, Charlie Brown and Lucy, which I don't know that that's a great idea, but they rematch, you know, and puts them in the position of rematching a WrestleMania main event from a year ago that they blinked on, you know, the Reigns beating Brock Lesnar. Maybe they think Reigns is ready to beat Brock Lesnar, or something big, including both of them. I don't see somebody else really coming through in this, but something big, including both of them. That's the most intriguing one, and that's the one that has, to me, and that's the one that has, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do it, and we'll see. You know, there's also, where are the special guests, you know, the debuts, AJ Styles, whoever else, what kind of legends come in, who gets to play Diesel, you know, who gets to play the guy who comes in and crushes, you know, about a quarter of the roster before he finally gets thrown out in a star-making thing. Is it Braun Strowman? Are they that high on him, or is it somebody else? So does Finn Balor get to do his entrance through three different entrances? There's a lot here. You know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens out of NXT, which would be really cool. I mean, this will be an intriguing show.
Yeah, I think you can have, you know, three or four debuts, and it wouldn't seem too much.
Yeah.
Because again, you're going to need those guys, and need in a hurry.
Yeah. How do you debut them, make them look strong, and then have them not win? That's always part of the match. But I just think and Pat Patterson.
Yeah, I was just about to say, call Pat Patterson. Like, hey, you know, you're somewhere, you know, relaxing, hopefully, you know, but it's not only is it that time of the year again, it's we need some help.
Yeah, I would imagine that he's going to – I would imagine he's going to whisper in some ears for this one.
Yeah, no, I don't want him
I would think so.
I want him there in the middle building this thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Ideally. That's what I personally like. I don't care whose feelings got hurt as far as young writers or old writers. You know, I don't give a crap.
I don't think for Vince McMahon, if he wants Patterson's advice and help and all that, I don't think they give a crap about whatever writers are.
Sure.
I don't think he cares. It's like if he's going to lay out and Patterson learned from Roy Shire and the battle rules at the end of the year in San Francisco that were some of the biggest shows of the year, bringing in people from around the world, and also just meticulously booked. And in a lot of ways, the Royal Rumble is foolproof to me, because a lot of the fun is it's not so much who's in the ring, it's who possibly could be next. You know, you always have that idea that the next person coming out is Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, and when it turns out to be, you know, when it comes out turns out to be Zack Ryder, well, the next guy's coming out, and that could be somebody. If I was going to be evil, I could say the next person coming out is Daniel Bryan. So, but that always keeps that interest high. And should I talk about doing a lottery for this? I don't know if I'm going to do it on the Torch site, but if I talked, have you ever done that, Travis, with your friends, the lottery?
I haven't, and the one I was going to participate in, Steve shut it down because of lack of interest, so I don't know what that says about the Rumble itself.
Well, I have my regulars that come for pay-per-views and coming to hear the gossip and all that stuff, and this is what we do. And this is not my original idea. People have been doing this for years, is everybody puts up $5. Now, if you have decent friends, you could probably put up a little more money, but I don't. But everybody puts up $5, then you draw, depending on how many people are here, if it's five, you know, everybody gets, you know, you draw six numbers. You draw, if you got 30 people in your house, you're nuts.
Everybody gets
one, you know,
right.
You know, and then you just draw, and then whatever, you know, then whatever, you know, if you draw number 13, then whoever comes out 13 is your guy. And at the end of the night, whoever has the lucky number wins the pot. The fun part of it is coming up with whatever lie you have to explain why your guy's
about to win. When you draw, when all your guys are out and your last guy you have standing is Bo Dallas, you have to then come up with a valid reason what makes sense and what they can do in the next 2 months to make Bo Dallas a WrestleMania worthy challenger.
And then you also can, you know, complain and scream and yell about how the booking's terrible because Mark Henry deserves to win the Royal Rumble. He was your guy and after all these years, and they should give it to him, and he didn't win. I mean, there's all kinds of ways, you know, and there's a lot of trash talk gets done and a lot of complaining, and you know, just it makes for an entertaining show, whether the Rumble is one of the best Rumbles or in the middle or not so hot. But I think this one, you know, this will be interesting, and people will be looking to have Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. But you know, if you get AJ Styles, I mean, if he shows up for this, then you know they're going to shoot him to the top. And I'm not beyond saying this. I just heard they're going to shoot him to the top and completely make that up. You know, just they've been holding back on Heath Slater because he's in line for a big push. And you know how they are. They have a guy in the bottom, and you know they have a guy lose a lot before he's about to do something. All those guys have won a couple of matches. The Social Outcast, what a great name. So, Travis, go ahead and plug. Plug your Wednesday show. Plug the Flash. I keep hearing good things about this. I keep having a conversation with my favorite Wings place,
yeah,
the guy, about the Flash.
Yeah, East Coast Cast every Wednesday nights, 6:30 to beyond. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio network of shows. You can find the show at East Coast Cast or blogtalkradio.com/EastCoastCast. It's me and Cam and Bardre shows up when he can, and a cavalcade of East Coast cast regulars and topics and pop culture stuff and personal stuff and lots of stuff.
We've got a lot of listeners to this show. Listen to that show.
There definitely is some crossover. And I also do a Flash podcast. Every new episode of the Flash that airs, we review it. Also, me and Cameron Hawkins. You can find that at the South Congress site, southcongress.com. That's Congress with a K. Or just search CW's Flash on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite app platforms, wherever podcasts live, that's where you can certainly find the Fan by Fan show, and that's the name of the show. And just search at Fan by Fan or CW's Flash, and you'll see me and Cam's faces on two Flash bodies, or reverse Flash and Flash. So yeah, so check out the show, give us a rating. Check it out, yeah.
I think you're Professor Zoom, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, No. I'm reverse Flash.
Well, that's Professor Zoom, right?
The show does a little different than... It's not exactly...
See, that's not right. The comics are the comics.
No. It is exactly right, because that has to be done. And I don't even mean it because I'm a fan, but it just...
No, I know what you mean. I was just... Yeah.
I mean, 800 versions of this universe where that guy exists on this galaxy. Give me a break, comic book people. Which...
You're not wrong about that.
Yeah, which I'm
so not
slowly,
wrong about that.
Very slowly, I don't want to say becoming one of, but tomorrow or Sunday, I'm headed back to that comic shop to get those two, three books you said get, and to see if the third issue of Superman American Alien is out yet. So
I think it might be. I do have another recommendation for you, so I need to
pass it on
the air. Huh?
Oh, yeah, sure. But I'm just saying, I can't have, it's like TV shows. Like, I don't need another show.
Well, this is a trade paperback, and actually would get you ready for a big Marvel Universe movie, and then later on, a major, and I don't have his name in front of me, but a major novelist is reviving the series. But go in there. They should have this trade paperback, Who is the Black Panther? By Reginald Hudlin and John Romita Jr.
Okay.
If you don't like that, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, it's tremendous. Tremendously well done. So,
have you asked me about Brock Lesnar yet?
What about Brock Lesnar, Travis?
I think Brock Lesnar is a chump. I think Brock Lesnar is a chump. Brock Lesnar is a sucker in the of the highest accord this week. Okay? So, Brock Lesnar wanted to not be in the Rumble. I said it all along. Brock Lesnar shouldn't be in the Rumble. When Brock Lesnar gets the title match, it's going to be one-on-one with a champion, and he's going to beat that guy up and take his belt and become champion.
Right.
That's the match Brock Lesnar wants. Not coming in at number 12 in some friggin' Royal Rumble. Give me a break. You know, or trying to get a shot at the Rumble. No. But no. So he sends Paul to, hey, no, get me out. I'm not in this. Tell him. And Paul gets dressed down. Yes, he is. Yes, you are. We own your contract. You do what we say. So Brock does what they say.
Yeah, that
all
sucks.
Of a sudden, Brock
that sucks
owned.
For all of them.
Brock's owned, and he gets bossed around and told what to do. That's a thing now.
Well, I'm hoping that turns into something. I'm hoping that that's an issue with the character of Brock Lesnar, too.
Okay, okay.
But
and then,
I wouldn't bet my life on it. I'll say
and
that.
And then, at the end of the night, we get the match, that stupid-ass garbage all-for-one concept, which was just pathetic and just a setup. So, Brock, I mean, the crowd even knew it, which is, I mean, that's okay. That's not bad. They're chanting for Lesnar. Hey, come out, and this is unfair. It's breaking down. We want Lesnar. The crowd didn't need, they did six We Want Lesnars and gave up. And if they would have hung in there for another 20 seconds, then his music would have hit. And then it would have been a big old pop, and, you know, it would have fit and looked like it was supposed to, but they said, we want Lesnar. Well, whatever, maybe we don't. And they gave up. And then he came out 20 seconds later. And then they did the Kung Fu movie gimmick where everybody waits their turn. Fine. He swerved everybody at the beginning. Knew they thought maybe they were he was going to come out and help put the boots to Roman. But then everyone else just sits around and waits their turn to be punched or suplexed or whatever instead of just jumping on the big bastard and putting him down too. But no, he gets to beat everybody up. And then he beats up Roman Reigns for no reason. Other than, is he doing the authorities
bidding?
He
beats up everybody.
Sure,
that's who he is.
Sure. Whatever. I don't want to hear that. The whole point is that he's going to be in the Rumble like a good boy, like a good corporate boy.
You're not wrong about that at all.
So
hopefully there's something.
The booking of Brock Lesnar this week. They bring him back just so he can be like, yeah, I'm not in that match. You better get out of my face. And they go, no, you're in that match. You're going to do what we say because we own you. They use those words, hey, we own your contract, whatever. We own you was in that sentence. That's what I heard. And he's going to be owned.
No, you're right
and
about that.
And be told what to do and, you know, do what
I thought
told.
About that. I thought that when Stephanie McMahon, was it a couple of weeks ago or a show ago, that a Raw ago, that, you know, you're going to have to travel over the world, you're going to have to do this because, you know, God knows he couldn't find another job or God knows he couldn't just beat up anybody that tells him. It's like
but we're already traveling all over the world. Like, what are you talking about?
I can, you know, I'm the champion. Beat me if you can. But yeah, the idea that you go into a match against 100 guys and you know you're going to get beat up, but you know you do it because, well, they told you to. It's just the antithesis of a wrestling hero, of a lone
right.
wolf standing.
Why no one ever just leaves? It's beyond me. When you see like a horde of guys, even if it's not scheduled, a horde of guys coming down the thing after you, like, oh well, there's 8 different ways out of this. I'm just going to.
I would love to see
walk past Michael Cole and those guys and leave through the crowd. We're not going to run in fear. I'm just, okay, I see what's about to happen. I'm out. Nobody's going
to
be like, what a punk.
I'd love to see that babyface champion go, I'm not doing this. Here's the deal. At, you know, on this pay-per-view date, you pick your best guy. I'm coming with this championship. If he's man enough to beat me, he certainly can try. And I'm gonna beat his ass and go to the next.
What was the point of the all versus one? Like it was. I thought it was the dumbest, like one of the dumbest things. Like
yeah.
Realized like oh, it's just a setup.
Now
so
it had some rating success, but I don't think that was the gimmick that had some rating success. Actually, I think it was, you know, Brock Lesnar's on the show. He hasn't showed up yet. I think enough fans. We're waiting for that, even though Alabama and Clemson, God Almighty, had a hell of a football game. So that was, you know, I think that helped a little bit. But yeah, I certainly agree, and I think that kind of stuff does long term damage to a lot of people's interest as far as that goes. Let me change the subject for a second. High Voltage Radio. I'm supposed to be on this show. I believe
yeah.
you've been on several times.
Oh yeah, that's like
we're taping on Saturday. So what's the deal? What's the deal here?
I said that's like my second radio home.
Yeah, Brian Schroeder and Brian Johnson. I mean,
yeah,
Schroeder
and Johnson.
What am I walking into here?
You're walking into good times, fun conversation with two guys who care about a lot about wrestling and also a ton of other stuff. Oh, and I think Schroeder's a big film guy. He's always scrutinizing directors. You know, ooh, the director could have cut to the scene better, and you know that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure if they're necessarily like comic guys. I think they are though. I can't wait to listen to that. Yeah, you guys should get along pretty well.
Yeah,
not your typical
I was glad to do
radio
it, then
guys in that sense, but. You know, they are good, especially Brian Johnson. He's a really good radio guy. I like him.
Yeah, I was cool with going on, and then I'd heard you'd been a guest a lot, and I got a little suspicious. So
yeah, I'm their go-to guy. I mean, they get a lot of, especially, I started, I guess, going on that show in 2012 in the lead-up, maybe 2013, my lead-up to my second Bosnia trip. But that stuff gets, you know, gets their audience all moist. So they bring me on to talk about Egypt and some, you know, any kind of findings or weird archaeology thing that they want to talk about, I'll be on for, you know, come on for 20 minutes or something talking about it.
Cool. So look for that high voltage radio. I'm not sure what the, they didn't tell me a website, but I think you can find it. And we're taping tomorrow sometime, so it ought to be up at some point. Assuming, you know, I don't, you know, choke or anything, so, but I don't think I will. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'd be a good deal. All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's start with our longtime friend Brian from Phoenix. Brian, Friday, rainy, cold.
Here, Bruce, in Phoenix, it's kind of warmish, but I'm like a warm, really warm guy, so it's just okay. And one thing about that is, like, old people talk about weather. My mom, when I talk to my mom, and she lives in Detroit, she always asks me, like, well, the weather here is 21. How's the weather in Phoenix? Like, okay, so it's in the 50s. Woo, it's so warm there. So, let's don't do that.
I walked right into that one. I can't even, like, get mad at you. Oh, God. That was great.
Okay, Bruce and Trav, I have 2 points and then one question. I'll make these brief. Callisto, this is my first point. Callisto, I didn't like that he lost the U.S. championship. You know, WWE math, he lost in 3 days. You know, for real world, he lost in 1 day. I really didn't like that. And, Bruce, I like how you – I'm attributing that you're the coin, even Stephen Booking. I attribute that to you. So I'll say ESP. I don't like ESP at all. My second point is the social outcast. It's not like I like them, but I like the concept. And the reason why is because we always talk about the mid-carders, the lower mid-carders not doing anything. At least they're trying something with the four of them. And I like also how they stood up to the Wyatts. You know, normally a team like that would cower down from the Wyatts, whereon they actually went in and actually challenged the Wyatts. So I actually like that part. Now, my question
and the Wyatts,
for you...
Did you like it before or after the Wyatts just laughed at him continuously?
Well, you know what, Travis, good question. I just like that they went out there and said, well, hey, you know, we're new and we're going to challenge you. So, you know, at least they...
Right, they got laughed at and then they got beat up. Like, everyone tried. Granted, it was Braun Strowman, but everybody tried and they all got beat up and then something happened. I'm not even sure if there was a finish or anything. I don't even remember, so...
Well, but you remember the beating
right
up and
right
laughing. Back.
I just remember they got beat up and laughed at, yes.
When their Ryback ran out.
Right. What do you do? What's your problem? Ryback?
Remember,
talk about
him. Remember the Wyatts jumped him a couple weeks ago, him and Big Show. That was the reason why Ryback came out.
No. I mean, I get things, but...
Okay.
Yeah, well, still. Okay. What are you doing? You ran out there just to... I don't know. But, yeah, okay, sorry. But go ahead.
Okay, no problem, Trav. And then my last question for both of you, and hopefully you both have a real good weekend, is that for SmackDown announcing. So, you know, SmackDown last night. Bruce and Trav, I wanted your opinion about the transformation or how Jerry Lawler was started off last weekend with being like subtle heel, and now last night he was actually getting a lot more heel. I want to see what you think about his transition to do that. I'll let you both go. Have a real good weekend. Talk to you later. Thanks. And put me on mute, Bruce. Thanks.
Yeah, I didn't see the first show, the first Morrow show, but I did watch a decent amount last night, and I liked him, and I liked King. I like when King doesn't take it too far, but so far so good with those two especially, and Byron's there, and he's been. You know, really decent the last, you know, few months.
Yeah, I like DeMario Ronaldo. Doesn't sound like he's been, that he was growing in a lab
like
in Stamford, Connecticut. I mean, I think that he has a real, you know, that he knows the product and he knows what to do to sound like something's really important, whether it is or it isn't. Brian, I can't tell you, I don't get what the deal was with Callisto, but it was a mistake. If they looked at Callisto and went, okay, this isn't working, or this isn't, you know, after 3 days, that's ridiculous.
How would they have known? Yeah,
how would you know? And the truth of the matter is they should make that call whether they're going to go with any wrestler or not, and once they do it, stick with it. And if they just decided that it would be better for Callisto to beat Alberto Del Rio again at the Royal Rumble. I don't get that either. I think Kalisto beats Del Rio, and then Del Rio goes and gets involved in something else, and then Kalisto is your, you know, is your flying babyface kitty hero. That and again teams up with Neville and you know and try to recreate the, you know, the well, I mean, not even recreate. I mean, that's an archetype of professional wrestling for many years, not just Rey Mysterio. And Rey Mysterio is one of the foremost popular proponents of it. But that was just ridiculous. I should say this: someone whispered in my ear and said, "If you want to," and we've got callers, and we're gonna hit you right now. But if you're online and you want to be heard, or you want to get on, hit one. And it'll give you a little check. If you don't hit one, that tells me you're listening, but you're not there. I want to thank the folks. We've got a great array of callers, regular callers here, and really appreciate it. One of them is Kylan from New Jersey. Kylan, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Travis. How are you?
Good, man.
Not too much. My question for this week is in regards to the upcoming Royal Rumble. My question for both of you is, will we see either The Rock or any member of the New Japan contingent appear at the Royal Rumble?
Rock appear? I mean, he didn't say, in the Rumble. Appear at the Rumble. It's a possibility. Here in Orlando, I mean, it's not San Diego or somewhere in Sanford or in California. But that's always a possibility. The other thing, the New Japan guys, I think that's an even bigger possibility.
Well, I would say, you know, I would hope if Rock is going to make an appearance, not in the Rumble, but just going to make an appearance, that it's announced on Raw. Not just wait until social media a couple of days beforehand. Just Rock is coming. What's he up to? And say that and hope that. I just wouldn't waste an appearance by The Rock that way for a surprise. You know, see if you can get some more network buys out of it. You know, just go ahead and do that. As far as the New Japan guys, we're not going to see Nakamura. I would expect to see AJ Styles. That's not based on anything, but where it is, you know, and Luke Gallows and the Anderson, would they be part of a Balor Club? I don't know. We'll see with that. Like I said, I expect Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens to see each other there. At least I certainly hope so. But I'm not sure with Balor. I think Balor, you debut with that, you know, with the entrance somewhere besides the Rumble.
And you can't do that at the Rumble. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know. Unless
he's number 30 and everybody that's left just stops, and that's like the point. Like, nobody's fighting anymore. Cole, you see this? They're all just.
God, oh my, can you imagine? That would be terrible. Oh my God. It drives me crazy when they're fighting and they see something that someone does something
you're totally outside the
ring and they just watch them, or some music turns on, you know, some music comes on and they stop. Or God knows, Mr. McMahon makes an appearance, so they just stop wrestling because, because they got to get ready to bow down and lick his toes or something. It's just ridiculous, you know, that stuff. It's like you're in a fight. You're fighting for something worth having. You're going to like stay with the fight. You don't see some wide receiver in the NFL playoffs running to catch the ball and then, oh look, there's Jennifer Lopez. I'll wave at her instead. So, you know, instead of catching the ball. So. Good night. But yeah, that's always fun. So I would expect that they're going to load up the special appearances in the Royal Rumble. Although I don't know who the you're trying to figure out who the old legends that come down for this thing will be. It's kind of interesting. Hogan's been quiet for a while, although I'd be surprised.
No way. Yeah, I don't know who's left. Who would make? Who would get a pop? Orlando, and it probably doesn't make any kind of Jeff Jarrett. No, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a bunch of nostalgia acts that like that year Diesel and Booker T showed up, because they're not going to do, you know, Hacksaw or anything like that.
I'm in New Jersey. I know Bruce accidentally put me on. What's happening? Happy Friday.
Oh, what's happening, man? Maybe he did and muted himself.
Yeah, well, I think we lost Bruce.
Well, we're still here, so what's up?
Cool, Trav. Couple things. First thing I have is, Trav, what do you think about the Usos? Do you see them getting the tag, you know, do you see them going into a long program with New Day over the tag team titles and coming out on top? Where do you think they're going with that?
Eventually, for sure. I mean, the Usos have probably been the best tag team in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. Consistent tag team. If it wasn't for the injury, I doubt that they would have. I don't know. New Day kind of took off. They probably would drop those titles anyway. But eventually, they're going to get those titles back and be a center part of the tag division, feuding with New Day, because New Day isn't going anywhere.
I think they really, just like you say, Travis, I think they can really uptake the tag team level to new dimensions with, you know, they can have some really great matches, and I like the idea of them getting the belts back prior to WrestleMania, but whenever they get them, that'll be really cool.
Yeah, they don't have to set the world on fire. Just do what they have been doing for the last 2 or 3 years, just having really good matches, being fired up and getting good pops when they hit their sequence of moves.
Totally. Now, next thing, I agree with you guys, what you were saying about Kalisto losing the belt was that, I think, a missed opportunity. I just don't understand in 24 hours how they could drop, you know, like having a good set of match on Thursday night last week on SmackDown, then winning the belt and then just having them drop it 24 hours later.
I don't get that at all.
Like,
because they had a really good match on Monday in the title win for Kalisto. They had not such a good match on last night. It was okay, but it was, you know, with Barrett out there causing distractions, and even though he was protected, Kalisto, I didn't like the finish. I didn't like him. I didn't like having him tap out.
Yeah, him tapping out wasn't there. I did click myself off. I've actually been talking to you guys like I'm in the conversation, so...
You're like, why are you ignoring me?
You're like, why are we talking
over
you? That's
right. God, why are you ignoring me?
I'm
used to it, Travis. So.
But I will say this, though, Bruce. It changed my first point to make, which was Bruce Mitchell audio show, Trav, I know you on part two last week. The history lesson when you talked about the way McMahon lured the guys from Georgia, and just that discussion was just off the charts, Bruce.
Well, the one guy had got paid $3,000 just to be available.
Mania?
He didn't even get used on the show. just be around. we might call you. Like, okay.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I don't think he was the only one for that. But that was, I mean, people who know WWE history or professional wrestling history know what a roll of the dice the first WrestleMania was. So yeah, that's there was a lot of money there. So talking about is what WWE is doing, and you know, I have my opinions, but I also say just wait and see. But WWE going, you know, WWE getting talent from New Japan Pro Wrestling in a big chunk like that, looking at making offers to Ring of Honor talent, making offers to TNA talent, all that kind of thing. Getting Alberto de Patron out of Lucha Underground and Mexico. And no, I mean, WWE competes, and you can, you know, I think as a fan, it's just, am I going to see, you know, if I'm watching AJ Styles in New Japan, am I going to get, you know, and I really enjoy that, and then he moves to WWE, am I going to enjoy that? Am I going to enjoy him in WWE? Is it going to be a version I enjoy less? Because that's what it was like in the 80s. I mean, it was just like, oh, my God, where did so-and-so go? Right in the middle of a storyline, and he turns up in WWE, and if he's Roddy Piper, he's as good or better. If he's, you know, if he's Mr. Wrestling number two or the Spoiler, he's not so good. So it's he's not used that way. And it was really an interesting time to be a wrestling fan because you didn't realize, you know, it was hard to like get your mind around this wrestling that was, the wrestling that you liked that was your main event, your major league, and it drew in your area. Why was some other guy screwing it up? Or look at this great new wrestling show that's so much better than the crap we had to watch for several years before that. I mean, there was all kinds of feelings about that, back and forth. So, but WWE competes. I mean, there's no, you know, and I wrote about it this week, and what is it that triggers them to compete? And I think that hearing that someone's got a better wrestling show than they do or got a better announcing duo doesn't make them happy.
But why isn't the instinct we need to tighten up on our... I mean, I just remember in 2002, I guess it was Confidential, because that's the only thing around that time that he would have gone on. It wasn't... Maybe it was that Bob Costas thing. But they were talking about WCW, that was, you know, less than or about a year old as far as them folding. And he talked about Ted Turner and his Donald Chagretti-type tricks. This was one of the first things that I ran to the internet.
From Watergate. Oh, my gosh.
That I ran to the internet, like, who the hell is Donald Chagretti? And you know, went on the Yahoo search or something, like, oh, okay. And he's talking about, like, they didn't make the giving away results and all that kind of stuff. And this had to be Confidential. I doubt Armin Katayan or Bob Costas gave a crap about that part. When people are dropping like flies, dying. But he's talking about they didn't make their show better. They wanted to bring ours down. Like, so, and here he is. Like, the first instinct always isn't to tighten up and make your thing better and make people want to see your thing. You want to not give them a choice. Well, if there's no other wrestling, you know, well, if I make that other show just suck by taking away their announcer or their top guy or this, I mean, I'm not saying that's like a terrible strategy. I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do, but don't then be, you know, friggin' butthurt.
You would hope that they would think. Do what you said, which is tighten up and learn from the success of somebody else,
right.
And then also then also compete. You know, then also
right.
Take the best
the
talent
first
and put it
thing
in.
Is,
to me,
okay, what do they like better about them that we're not doing, and let's try to do that if it fits into our scheme, or try to make it whatever. I mean, whatever your strategy for getting better and doing new, fresh things and getting an bigger audience would be, do that.
Yeah. Do you have a plan?
Let the gears start turning in your head for that stuff. Not immediately, who can we plot to take and weaken? Like that. Sounds like Donald Chagretti to me.
That's hilarious. That's the way you found out about Donald Chagretti. I'm old enough to watch. I was watching that in real time. You talk about a wrestling drama. Come home every day after school and watch the Watergate hearings. The first time they ever did. There was no CNN, nothing like that, just the networks turned over to this good versus evil battle that was something out of Law and Order. That was a tremendous time. And boy, are we screwed up since then.
Guys, I got one more question.
Yeah.
Last question. Bruce, more directed at you. First off, Hall of Fame season's here. Now that we have Sting in, and I asked this question last year, and then it was brought up again by Wade and Jason this week, and they were like, ask Bruce, Demolition, you know, the Bushwhackers got in last year. What's the situation? And Bruce, I thank you because I had asked you about some mass superstar. I'm watching Bill Eadie in Georgia Championship Wrestling. He's amazing. And I just wonder, what was the condition of them leaving? Is there a bad fallout that they'll never be in the Hall of Fame? Like, because I think they truly, you know, I was growing up, that was my time as a kid, and Demolition was the team. And if you have the Bushwhackers in there, Demolition needs to be in there. I know it's Vince McMahon's Hall of Fame, but do you remember this? Because Wade didn't really remember the situation around Vince and having a falling out with Bill Eadie. Do you have any details on that?
Yeah, there was Bill Eadie filed a lawsuit against WWE based on some promises that were made, based on some copyright issues with Demolition, even though it was Moondog Collie that came up with the idea in the beginning, and of course, and came out with Bill Eadie as Demolition, and got Moondog Randy Collie got Moondog chanted at him, and lost his job in the first weekend at the house shows because they wanted someone. They just figured that would kill the gimmick. They were right too. And then there was also some medical issues with it. I think some with what Bill Eadie was alleging, and you can kind of figure what that was. I think, though, that is, you know, he was persona non grata for a good long time, but I think that's been so long ago that they have a chance to get in the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, I wouldn't put them in Demolition. I wouldn't put Demolition in any kind of objective Hall of Fame, but they fit the criteria of two guys that are they can go on stage and, you know, represent themselves well at this stage in their life without a whole lot of scandal behind them, and then they're, you know, 80s, they're an 80s act that people have a nostalgia for, they remember, but you know, and it's kind of with Demolition, it's kind of faded from memory that they were considered at the time a Road Warriors ripoff and not muscle headed as the Road Warriors. And then Scott just gives me the opportunity to mention that, and you know, just go up on YouTube and put in Mass Superstar in Wrestling. Bill Eadie's previous, previous persona of the Mass Superstar, the intelligent, mean, tough heel, very credible bad guy, is, if I had a personal Hall of Fame, Mass Superstar would be right there with it. Great promos. Very intelligent, very, very cool. Different than Nick Bockwinkel's, but, you know, just very well educated and just a complete badass. I mean, he's, you know, he and Dick Murdoch in New Japan Pro Wrestling, he's up there and threw a lariat up there, in my opinion, with the greatest, with Stan the Lariat Hansen. So, yeah, he's a lot of fun. I'm much more of a Bill Eadie Mass Superstar guy than I am of a Bill Eadie Demolition guy. But it's always interesting to me. In the South, he can still show up at a nostalgia show or a nostalgia, you know, an autograph legends thing as Mass Superstar, and then in the Northeast, he's Demolition in different places. And I've definitely seen him kind of play both ends of that. But and Bill Eadie, I got the opportunity to interview him for actually going to do this tomorrow, but interview him for Michael Elliott and the Jim Crockett Glory Days DVD, and he was a great interview. Smart guy, interesting guy. So. Anyway,
can I say something?
I guess.
Demolition sucked. So bad. I mean, if you ask 9-year-old Travis in 1989, hey, what do you think of Demolition? Like, get these painted up fat Jerry Lawler looking guys out of here, or at least the one. I don't know which one. God, awful, awful. I never understood. Like, I got that when I watched Police Academy at, like, you know, 6 years old, and they tricked the captain and Proctor into going to the Blue Oyster, and all those guys are dressed in leather and spikes and all that stuff. Like, oh, okay, I get that. That says, you know, yeah, I can put two and two together. And then these guys show up with their stupid, you know, dominatrix outfits on and their spikes and their, you know, dildos. Well, they didn't have anything like that. But that's the image. That's what I think about. Like, somebody's going to be whipping somebody. Somebody's going to have a certain part of their body in some kind of vice or crunch and, you know, a heel or something dug into their, you know, it's like, what is this? Why am I, and blood and the thing running from the, Kiss sucks too. And it just reminds me of them. Kiss are just god-awful. And they fall in that same category. And I don't understand people that are my, you know, 30 to 40 year old men that have this this thing for Demolition. Like, I know you were a stupid innocent kid, but you didn't get what they were going for. Not that you should hate them because of that, but they were horrible.
God, you know, this brings up a story. and I'm going to get some callers in a second, but brings up a story from the
80s. Put a ball gag in their mouth and, like, send them on their way. Like, seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there was a show in Greensboro, sitting front row, Jim Crockett Promotions. It was a TV taping. So sometimes the wrestlers would stand right at the railing, like right next to us, and wait for a cue to do their promo. So here's Animal and Hawk, the Road Warriors, standing there in all their regalia, and they had to wait for about a minute. So I spent that minute basically asking them. I just went, "You guys are a couple, right?" And just went into Christopher Street and the leather and everything it meant and all that. Yeah. Like, come on! And I look back on it and go, "How I didn't get my face punched out?"
Just
like I went into the whole, like, you know, Greenwich Village, and come on, you know, look at you, you know, look at the leather pants. I mean, where do you see that? Who wears this stuff? You know, tell the truth. And I got stared down, but I, you know, you didn't want to mess with Hawk in particular. So when I look back on it, I kind of go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. So, but it was fun. And no, I didn't use any words that began with F or anything like that. But I just went into kind of a cultural, you know what all that stuff, you guys know what you're wearing, right? And so that was, but yeah, that undercurrent is a lot of professional wrestling. But Demolition, to me, Demolition had the half-assed version. I'm much more, it's so weird. I mean, I think part of it's how everything was produced back then. Mass Superstar, he'd come on, do a promo in Georgia Championship Wrestling and Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling or wherever it would be, and I was just transfixed by it, and they gave him time to talk. But in the 80s with Demolition, you get the, you know, you get like the 30-second promo in front of the Krylon, and then they
rah, let me tell you, we're going to come get you. And
yeah, there was nothing to, it was like a different guy. I mean, it really was. It was like and you know, they made a lot of money as Demolition, and that's the job, but yeah, I'm not.
Now, I'll hear from Josh about how they had a 500-day tag title reign and defended it at two, you know, the only team to go in two WrestleManias consecutive or some crap. Like, yeah.
Right. And that's fine. Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that. Let's go usually from the beginning of the show, but we're going to go with Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, how's your day?
All right. How y'all doing today?
Doing fine.
Okay. Trav, I like the picture that you put out there of the Bernie Sanders, man. That was pretty tight.
Yeah.
I like that picture, man. And the Fan by Fan show, y'all need to come up with something because y'all got me hooked like Pookie from New Jack City, and I need my
supposedly, supposedly we're going to record, finally, this Jessica Jones season recap tomorrow, but I'm headed tomorrow morning or afternoon, but I'm headed out for some female companionship tonight, and I don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow morning, afternoon. So we'll see.
Would you know the name of this female companion at this point, or you're
they'll give me a list, and you know they'll line them up, and I'll pick one. So we'll see.
Oh, that kind.
And I hope the Bruce Mitchell audio show is up later on today, too, because I love listening to that. I need to be listening to stuff while I be answering these phones during the day. But back to wrestling. In the background, I need to have music playing or something playing in the background just to make the day go by. But anyway, back to wrestling.
I was a customer. I didn't play.
Probably so. But to get to what you were saying earlier, Travis, about getting six people to come up out of the Rumble and set up like four top matches, don't you think that'll be hard for it if either these three win, that's Brock, Triple H, or Roman Reigns, since they probably will face each other, and that'll eliminate two or maybe three of the matches in all?
No.
You only get one match?
27 other people in the match that I said you should have, you know, five or six good different stories going. That five or six different stories can involve, you know, 10 or 12 people. Someone eliminating somebody, coming back, and, you know, Royal Rumble stories, how they work. I don't have to give individual.
Oh yeah, I get
samples,
but
yeah, that's what I mean.
Everybody can consider main event.
Yeah, I don't care who whoever wins, Brock, Triple H, Roman, regardless what is happening. And I prefaced, I even qualified. I said whatever, not including your main storyline, your championship story in the Royal Rumble. You should have five or six other things that people can talk about that next day. That should be the focus of Monday Night Raw, other than the title and who won it and Fastlane's main event. However, if they decide to, I don't know the time frame, if they set that up immediately or what. Should have a lot coming out of the Rumble, no matter who.
I agree with you, Travis. I think those three. There's a lot of places you can go with that, and hopefully, you know, they're going to need something big, and those are the three where you can do something big with them.
Because I was thinking maybe if they do put AJ in and they do put a rocket on his back, have him win it. That's one match that you can set up. Have whoever eliminates Brock feud with Brock. That's your second match, and you got Roman and Triple H. That goes three, and you just need one more. And you can come up with that, however. And I want to ask you, Bruce, do you think, since they've been kind of hyping Finn so much, do you think they should wait to bring him up around WrestleMania to feud against or go against The Undertaker? Those two interests, because Undertaker used
to. Wait a minute, who did you say to go against The Undertaker?
Finn Balor.
Okay.
However you want to.
Yeah.
And those interests right there, it just wowed the crowd and you can get whatever you can out of Undertaker, since you might as well say this could possibly be his last match. And I got one more question for you, Bruce.
Okay. Yeah, you can't have Undertaker beating up Finn Balor. You can't.
Yeah, I would be surprised at that.
And
I
you
think
can't
also
have Finn Balor
going
there and stomp Undertaker and pin him at WrestleMania.
You got to remember there's a size difference here, too. I see Undertaker, if you look at who he's wrestled for the most part in the last 10 years, and particularly as he gets to the end of his career, I think he's going to want to work with someone he's familiar with that's way up there. I don't think he's going to want to take that chance.
Right. This isn't Undertaker champion, WWE Undisputed Champion, Booger Red, you know, Red Devil Undertaker, badass, American badass, facing Jeff Hardy in that ladder match on Raw. That worked. That was tremendous. That's, you know, one of those matches that I'm never going to forget, and WWE won't because they feature it. You know, quite often, well, not quite often, but enough that they're proud of it. But Jeff Hardy lost because that was the right thing. Yeah, the Undertaker raised his hand and as a badass heel and showed Hardy some respect, and that put Jeff over really big at a critical time in his career. But that's Jeff Hardy. This is a brand new on the scene, on the major scene, league scene, Finn Balor, and a babyface Undertaker that people want to cheer. People loved booing that Undertaker. When Jeff Hardy was at the tippy top and his hand had fingers on the title in the ladder match, and Undertaker blasted him in the back with a chair and chokeslammed him off the thing and took his belt. I mean, they, you know, pretty pissed off, but that's not where they're at.
So what's your question, Darrell, for me?
Okay, my last question, and just to respond to that, I was just saying have Finn win, and most of Undertaker's best matches came against smaller competitors anyway.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking that. But
like how his match
I understand where y'all come from.
HBK was 50 times better than his matches with Triple H the next 2 years.
No,
yeah,
way it
like,
wasn't. We got, man, what?
Oh, no, you're right.
We got to go through this again.
Better than
no, it wasn't. I got to go through this again.
It was at least three times better. Cause,
I don't like either one of you two.
And
not
I think his
somewhere between three and 55
CM
times.
Punk was on par with any of his matches with Triple H. So,
no, the Triple H matches were better than that Punk match. That Punk match was, I was there. That match was a dud, to be kind. I didn't like that match.
But, Bruce, here goes my question for you. Since you're from the South, like I'm from the South, and I was just hearing y'all talk about the Max Superstar, as a memorable person, but I guess from the people that I know and hang around, we all wrestling fans to the core, he's not a memorable person to us. Our memorable people are top four. This is what I want to hear, your top four Southern wrestlers, legends of all time. Our top four would probably be like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, JYD, and maybe Ricky Steamboat. Then number five would be Magnum T.A. with the Freebirds coming up in six. But, you know, Max Superstar wasn't a person who appealed to the people who I grew up with and who introduced me to wrestling and stuff like that. That's I find it, you know, just crazy.
Well, Darrell, you know what, man? I like your list. I mean, I like your list a lot, not just Southern wrestling, but just wrestling right there, some of the greatest, some of the biggest guys and all that. And I would say, I don't know that Mass Superstar was headlining Mid-Atlantic with Ric Flair. He was headlining Georgia against Wrestling Number 2 and Tommy Rich and Dusty Rhodes and all that stuff, although he didn't work much with Dusty Rhodes because they didn't get along that well. But understand, you know, I don't know that Mass Superstar is right there as far as, like, Southern wrestling legends, but it one of my favorites. That's what I would say, although he did tremendous business. He's a contemporary of every one of those guys. Did he do the business that Junkyard Dog did? No, but who did? Did he do the business that Dusty did? No, but he did big business. I mean, he was, you know, he co-headlined Ric Flair versus Greg Valentine in a steel cage, and 2 years before Starrcade selling out Greensboro, Mass Superstar and Paul Jones versus Ray Stevens and Jimmy Snuka in a steel cage was and Mass Superstar unmasking at the end of the match sold, you know, did one of the biggest gates of the year and anywhere and sold out the Greensboro Coliseum before they called it Starrcade. And I would just say, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. There's not one of those guys that I don't think were great wrestlers. So that's a pretty cool list. And my list always starts with Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, so I can't. And Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood, so I can't disagree with
that.
Yeah,
but I don't think he fit. Well, you're just talking. I'm zeroing in on the Southern part, so I don't think Ricky Steamboat doesn't fit that. But, yeah, you're right. Coaches in general.
Yeah,
you know, one of Andre the Giant's best opponents was Mass Superstar, too, so.
Yeah, I was just saying that because I came in when they, when my grandfather brought me in, he brought me in. Had me listening to people promos that were cut by Dusty and Ric Flair, and my uncles them used to try to mix in Ric Flair slang into their talk. So that's how I was introduced to those two. And one of the first matches I seen was the feud between Tully Blanchard and Magnum T.A. And that one really got me into wrestling, where it's just a heated feud with punches, kicks, and just hard hitting and stuff like that. So that will really scope my whole outlook on wrestling.
Well, Mass Superstar can hang with. I mean, believe me, Mass Superstar can hang with that type of wrestling in a heartbeat. But you got brought up right. I'll just say it. You got brought up right. You can't. That's a foundation to understand wrestling from. So, and part of mine. So that's pretty cool. Appreciate that, Darrell.
Real quick before we sign off, Fair Play shared, I assume you saw it by now, the promo of with Pez Whiteley and then with Jimmy Valiant after Pez turned on him. I had seen the promos after the turn had happened and he had to start calling himself Shaska and Jimmy Valiant, Shaska, you was like a brother. Shaska! I had seen that one, but I'd never seen the actual turn. You talked about it, and then the promo after where Pez had his ponytail and his, you know, and the first off, who's walking around? Who's getting interviewed with a pair of scissors? Yeah, it was silly, but, you know, it still worked. Nobody, I guess, ask that. You can't rip it out, so you have to cut it. So you got to have some scissors.
Why did he have scissors? Because he needed to cut Jimmy Vang's ponytail off.
But
to make
the whole
off.
Thing happened like out of, it was a passionate, you know, a crime of passion, so to speak. It just, it was something, because Jimmy said, you're the best black athlete or black wrestler ever, or at the moment, whatever. And then he looked and snapped. Well, that wasn't planned. He didn't, or at least you wouldn't think. So it was kind of silly in that sense. Like, he just starts pounding them, beating them. He reaches in his pocket and pulls out some scissors. Like,
well, Travis, you want to know the next chapter? The next chapter of that? Pez Watley, you know, snaps because his good friend Jimmy Vaillant says that he's one of the best black athletes in the world, or the greatest black athlete in the world.
Right.
Next time you see Pez Watley, he's changed his name to Shaska Watley. He's got the he's got the New Orleans hat on, and he's in the employ of Paul Jones, who is now dressed up to make you think he's Adolf Hitler, and this is what he says to him. Yes, boss, we're going to get Jimmy Valiant, boss. Whatever you say, boss. I'll do anything, boss. We got to get that Valiant, that undercover hillbilly. So,
one
of the wackiest, more fun things. I mean, I know there's wacky stuff that I've complained about for years and years. That one is just jaw-droppingly campy. I mean, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, but I don't understand.
Fan of that one.
I don't get how that... Like, seeing the turn, seeing the promo after it, where Watley's like, yeah, I'm the best black wrestler, I'm the best white one, I'm the best Chinese one. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was such a great line. And I don't like, but then turning into, like, the yes boss guy, I just don't see how that...
Well, that was what was supposed to make you mad. That was the part, that was where some of the heat was supposed to come from. Now, it's worth saying that... Pez Watley cut the ponytail off of Jimmy Valiant. Then they had a hair versus hair match where Jimmy Valiant beat Pez Watley, shaved his head. Then they had a hair versus hair match between his manager, Paul Jones, Shaska Watley's manager, Paul Jones, and the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, where Shaska Watley helped Paul Jones, the retired manager, beat his arch rival Jimmy Valiant, the good guy, the hippie's friend and all that, the biker's friend, and they shaved Jimmy Valiant's head. Then they came to Starrcade, had a rematch between Jimmy Valiant and Paul Jones, and Jimmy Valiant beat Paul Jones this time, and they shaved Paul Jones's head. So, and everything made sense. I mean, everything pretty much made sense. So one of the, you know, as Fairplay said, everybody was all in on that one. Everybody got their head shaved by the time it finished. So just one of those things. Travis, you want to hold on for a minute? You want to end the show with one more caller?
I was going to ask, was there no Jason this week?
We're going to hit Jason.
Okay.
Jason's been patient. Jason, good morning to you.
No, yeah, thanks, guys. Well, good morning over here in Australia to you guys, too. Hey, Travis, I really enjoyed your rant about Demolition, although it is quite intriguing that at 9 years old you were already thinking about Dominatrix, so that sort of intrigued me.
Well, I don't know if I thought about it in those terms, but I got it. I understood fully
don't worry about it. I know where you're coming
from. You got to remember that Travis was raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That pretty much, like, should explain it.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, right in the red light district or something, yeah.
But, I might be
going that far.
I don't know too much about Philly, but I'll be a bit cautious on the research I do based on what you said. But anyway, in relation, Brian earlier mentioned about the social outcast, and I kind of like that gimmick because you finally have a gimmick that 99% of WWE's audience can relate to. So I think that's very clever.
I beg your pardon.
Well, they've done their market research. They've done their market research, and they've got a group that a lot of the audience can relate to.
So what you're saying is 99% of the wrestling fans and probably hosts of various podcasts and call-in shows are social outcasts.
I'm joking. Come on, I'm joking. It's in the morning. Yeah,
I don't think you're joking.
That hits pretty close to, you know.
Well, I might even be talking about myself, so, you know, it's all good fun. It all makes sense, like the shaving of the head.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bruce, in relation to Kalisto,
yes,
dropping the title on SmackDown, I don't agree with this, but the only thing that I can think of is perhaps what they're thinking is that of the people who only watch Raw, and then they go back to Raw the next week, now they're trying to maybe emphasize SmackDown as if to say, well, if you miss SmackDown, you miss something significant. Even though
yeah, like, hey,
that.
Remember this thing that you ever... clearly, that was... For me, the highlights of Raw Monday was the Kalisto, the title change, and the promos throughout the show, because we got JoJo interviewed three or four people backstage, and then the Becky Lynch one was by far the best. So it's like, hey, remember this thing that you all liked? Well, something happened and it changed. You have to now figure out, oh, crap. That, you know. So I get Jason's logic. I'm just not sure if that's what they were going for.
Well,
that's
the only reason I can think they did it. And another point, Bruce, you know, you're talking about WrestleMania matches. I know a lot of people have talked about Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar as a potential matchup. I wanted to get your opinion on if you think that match would work. I'll just quickly say, one of the reasons why I do think it would work is I think Owens could almost have a Stone Cold WrestleMania 13 moment with Lesnar. I think the potential's there. I think the crowd want to get behind him. Those KO shirts, they seem to be very popular. It's a great marketing tool. I mean, I can just imagine Lesnar beating him, you know, just really like hammering him, and the crowd getting behind saying, fight Owens, fight Owens, fault. He loses the match, but comes out with a whole much more greater respect. Well, what do you think?
Do they go as far as to have him pass out in a submission? Yeah, I mean, I think that that might happen if they pulled the trigger on it. I think it would definitely elevate Kevin Owens, but they, Vince McMahon is not into Kevin Owens. Triple H is, and I think that Vince McMahon won that battle, and I think the last thing he's going to do is take the expense of Brock Lesnar. Of course, he took him and put him in house shows, where I mean, I imagine that hurt some business, but because he didn't draw any extra fans, but Brock Lesnar. He's not going to use Brock Lesnar to elevate Kevin Owens. I just don't think that's going to happen. Could it work? And I know there's been some talk of it. Sure, it could. I think that it would be a good match set up the way you want it, but the way you were talking about. But I would just be surprised if they did that. I think if you're a Kevin Owens fan, you're looking at Sami Zayn, and that's not such a bad thing. But Brock's going to be involved. I just see Brock involved somehow with Roman Reigns, somehow and in something big, but some more elements to it, I'm just guessing. We'll see.
And Bruce, just one more match then. Could you see this match happening? We're talking about last week how you need a match at WrestleMania to have really big stakes. If The Undertaker comes out and announces that this is going to be his final match, regardless whether he wins or loses, could you have Undertaker with that stipulation challenging Reigns for the title?
Yeah, you could, but but Roman Reigns beating Undertaker is going to piss people off in his last match. Undertaker beating Reigns, then Undertaker has the title, and I think WWE would shy away from, and rightfully so, the idea of Undertaker the next night giving up the title and going into some sort of tournament and beating Reigns too. So I don't know. I don't think the storytelling and where they're going with pushing Reigns is in line with that. So I'll say this: if you're really thinking about the character of The Undertaker and in his last match, what would he really want to do? What would fit his character the most? That's what would fit his character the most. I'm going all in, all my cards on the table. I want to be the WWE champion one more time, and if I lose, I quit. I'll retire, and that makes the most sense. So I don't think that's what you're going to
do. I just think it suits The Undertaker's character. I mean, Bruce, you've often said that he's the greatest gimmick of all time, and I thoroughly agree with you. And if anyone deserves to go with the championship to retire, it has to be him. I mean, he's the guy that's made us believe the most. with at the outset looks like a
You know, I agree. You know, as far as like who deserves that kind of brass ring at the end or that kind of gold watch at the end, certainly he does. But you've got to look at what sets up business with what's left, what's going on from there, and does it put Reigns in a situation where, and it's so tentative how he's getting over, you know, does it hurt him again? That's the thing about it. It's more, you know, it's got to set up their main events for the next several months, and I think that, you know, I think it's great for WrestleMania. It'd be great for Undertaker, and certainly deserve it in the sense of, you know, time served or, you know, quality of a career. But I, you know, the other part I don't think works at all. We'll see. You know, we'll see. I don't know where things are with WrestleMania. So I think we'll have. I think as Travis talked about at the very beginning of the show, we'll have a good idea, you know, in a week and a couple of days.
With the weird thing with that, right, and I know conventional booking says you need to beat someone to get over. I know you don't want to play this card too often, but would Reigns benefit with the so-called hardcore fans from doing that loss, doing that job, to so-called job to The Undertaker, showing a bit of respect, you know, could benefit in that way?
Travis, you have any comments on this?
I'm sorry. Say it again, Jason.
Now, all I'm saying is that you don't want to go down this path too often, but if Reigns was to lose to The Undertaker and, you know, he showed a bit of respect, walk off, it actually might build a bit of respect with the hardcore fans, not so much resentment. I don't think anyone wants to see Reigns beat The Undertaker, but if he loses, could it work in that way?
I don't know. They just might go, you're being told to do that, Undertaker. We don't believe you.
I mean, they might still. I don't think it would.
Roman's just
going
to have to be around for a while. It's just not everybody can just immediately. You know, Kevin Nash wasn't wrong completely when he talks about that 7 to 10 years that guys need. I mean, some guys do need that, at least more than 1 year singles and 3 years overall.
Well, Reigns may need it. All right, guys, good show. Jason, appreciate the call, and we'll talk to you, I hope, next week. Travis, we'll talk at some point. Let me know how the comic book store trip goes.
Yeah.
And talk about that stuff. So, anyway, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, callers. We've got great callers. Thanks, folks, that download this show. The Torch Livecast is going like gangbusters as far as that goes, and we really appreciate that. Hope you're enjoying the show. And Travis and I, Travis Bryant, will be back on Wednesday night, and I will be back next Friday and this weekend with the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for VIP members, hosted by Wade Keller. Talk to everybody soon. Thanks, Travis.
Thanks, Bruce.